The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ in community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
So, I always ask this question, and I always want to know our answer to the question. The question is, what is really, really, really good about Friday, Good Friday? Because the irony of Good Friday to me is that it tends to escape our minds. Like we're ready for Easter, we're ready for the holidays, ready for, you know, I don't know if you got ham in your household or if you make your turkey or whatever you do for it, but it's interesting because these 24 hours change the world. They change the world. And we don't really know what to do. And historically, if you look historically on what Good Friday was about, or really what Fridays were back in the Roman world, Fridays were about death, which is weird, just honestly, really, really weird. That's when they decided that they're going to do all their executions, which does, I mean, you know, we say TGIF today. I don't think they said that back then, right? Especially if you're in prison, it just probably wasn't a good thing. But they didn't really have a high priority on appeasing Jewish people. They just didn't really care about that. That wasn't where they were. They didn't respect him enough to even organize themselves in such a way that it wouldn't conflict with the Jewish Sabbath and other religious festivals that were at the time, because this would have been the Passover time. It was just common that executions were just held on Friday. And so they would remove them on Sabbath so they couldn't be desecrated. And that was kind of the case. That was the case for Jesus' body in this on Good Friday. They would take him down. They would bury him and bury him quickly before Sabbath began. But isn't it ironic? It's ironic that you look at it with Monday shouting TGIF, looking forward to Fridays. But back then, Fridays weren't really desired. When I look at the passage that we just read, when I look at all the passages that we just read, and I look at the story of who Christ is, and I look at what Christ did on this day and how it actually shapes what we celebrate come Sunday, it really helps me to think about what's going on. But there's a character that I think that we miss all the time. Last year with the college students, we got to watch the Passion story. I don't know if you've seen the Passion story. Usually this time of year, it's free on one of the streaming services, and so we played it. And I forgot how centralized the character of Barabbas is in this whole thing, because as Pilate is trying to get rid of Jesus, trying to pawn him off, trying to figure out, there's this other guy. And he's a horrible person, like everything. You look at his rap sheet, you know, everything about him, there's nothing good. And there were already three crosses. Pilate already was going to execute three different people on the day. And he was 2 for 3 already, and he had one more to go. And he was waiting for the occupants to be placed where they're going to be, and the three people, they were being held in the first century's version of death row, if you may. Trials are being held, verdicts have been rendered, sentences were pronounced, they were ready to go. Three men were waiting to die that day. Three men were waiting to die that day. One man, guilty, destined for death, was going to get an unexpected pardon. One of them was going to get an unexpected pardon. While one innocent man, destined to live, was going to die. Historians and archaeologists suggest that there were those who were sentenced to die would have been brought up out of their prison cells, placed in a holding area of sorts the morning of their death, similar to what we do now. Put them in a cell, you kind of give them your last meal, your last rites, even the night before. It was also suggested that executions, especially in Jerusalem, took place early in the day so everything could be cleaned up long before sundown when Sabbath began. On this day, it didn't go as normal. There's an interruption, if you may. If you read the biblical narrative, you see interruption after interruption that kind of happen. There's crowds. They're being led by religious leaders. There's protests that are going on. You're being taken to different people. They go to the authorities. They try to get requests granted. It's almost like the appeals process is going on right now. Just everything kind of was herky-jerky. It didn't happen the way it was supposed to. Everything was on hold because there's all this commotion surrounding Jesus. Nothing was going normal. Nothing at all. Imagine what it must have been like for the other two thieves and Barabbas sitting in the holding area. They're all waiting. They've been condemned. They've had probably their last meal. I don't know, steak and potatoes or whatever they ate. And they're waiting. They're waiting to die. They knew what this day held for them. It was going to be a bad day. They knew everything was going to go left on them. But everything was held up. The time that you knew it was supposed to happen, it didn't happen. The time when you knew everything was supposed to go down, it didn't go down. You're just waiting because all your life you've seen it happen at this time and it's not. Everything's being held up because outside you hear them demanding this innocent dude, this dude that's done nothing but help everybody else, they're demanding his death. One of the customs of the day is that a prisoner would be released from condemnation if the majority chose so. The gift that the Romans would give the Jewish people was done when executions were taking place near the time of celebration like Passover. So when Passover was in full swing, just to be nice, because, you know, Romans were real nice like that, if you know anything about them, just every once in a while they'd say, hey, we're going to let one of your really bad guys go, which, by the way, don't give me a murderer back. Please don't. But they were gracious enough to do that. They would say, we're going to give you one of the guys. And Pilate, kind of hoping that, you know, people would ask for Jesus, gave what we would consider an obvious choice. You ever given somebody an obvious choice? Just real obvious. This or that. So you take the Ted Bundy of the day over here, right? And then you take Jesus. And he puts them together, and everybody knows the rap sheet of both. This guy took a Lunchable and fed 5,000 people. This guy murdered people. Like, you know, this is easy. Pilate put him there and says, Barabbas or Jesus? Which one lives and which one dies? Pilate chose Barabbas because he assumed everybody would have made the right choice. Remember, he found Jesus innocent. He looked at Jesus, looked at everything that Jesus had done and said, dude's innocent. I'm washed my hands of it. He's not guilty. I don't have anything on my conscience. We're not going to murder an innocent man. I'm good. But the people were still calling for it. So he set them two horrible people, one holy person and another innocent person before. And he said, I don't even put the guy to death, but I just want to give you a choice just so you can say I did right by you. Imagine the scene. Barabbas hearing his name in his holding cell. He hears the people cheering his name over and over. And he doesn't know whether they're cheering his name. Remember, he's been sitting in the cell all day since the morning, expecting for his death to come, knowing he deserves what's about to come to him. He's been waiting for all the sentence to happen, and all of a sudden, everybody outside is saying his name. You know, the people that hate him, the people that don't want him to be with them, they're saying his name over and over. And all he knows is that they're saying and chanting his name. And then he realizes, because the way the guards are fussing around him and helping him with his chains, that they're not only chanting his name, but they're starting to set him free. Then the crowd goes silent, and he hears Pilate, probably off in the distance, mumbling a little bit. Pilate begins to ask the crowd, should he go with Jesus? And all of a sudden he hears the name Jesus, and he's like, oh, I know that guy. I've heard about that guy. And all of a sudden you hear the same crowd that was calling his name now is saying, crucify him, crucify him. And I'm sure Barabbas is sitting here like, wasn't it like 7 days ago we were cheering this dude on coming down the street? The back of a donkey now, I mean, whatever. Because if he's a criminal, I mean, whatever. But could you imagine what had been going through his mind? He hears his name, then he hears crucify him. Then he realizes that today's not, his number's not up. It must have been an odd thing for the crowd to gather around and call and cheer for the execution of this man. And then suddenly he hears the footsteps. He knows his time has come. He's ready for his time to come. He again has been waiting for this all day. Now it's mid-afternoon, and he's waiting for it. And the clanging of armor signified the time had come. He knew it was there. He was waiting for the executioner, but something strange happens. The first thief that was next to him, he gets taken out in shackles. The second thief is taken out in shackles, and he's waiting for his turn. I mean, I'm sure if he's like, all right, go ahead and take me. But instead, when they led him out in shackles and chains, his shackles and chains were released. And he was told to go free. You're free now. We know that you've hurt people. We know that you've killed people. We know that you've done all these horrible things. You're free. They called for your free. I wouldn't guess that Barabbas hung around very long. I think if I was him, I'd probably dip into the crowd. That's what they did in the Passion. They had him run through the crowd. Literally, the crowd split because they were so disgusted with him as he ran through the crowd back towards freedom. I don't even know if I was Barabbas if I turn around and look at the innocent man that's about to die on my behalf. And all I could think, as I looked at that scene, I went up on YouTube and I found that scene again this afternoon. I was watching it. And all I could think this afternoon is, I am Barabbas. That's me. I am Barabbas. I'm a man who's guilty, who's condemned, who's being set free by a man who is innocent and perfect and willing to take my place. I'm Barabbas. Barabbas deserved it. I deserve it. Jesus did not. Barabbas couldn't have stopped the proceedings. Jesus could have, but he chose not to. At any point, Jesus could have called down a whole slew of angels on him and tore the place up, but instead, he let it happen in his defense. At any point, Jesus could have simply spoke. He could have said, you don't exist anymore, and they wouldn't have existed because his word is that powerful, but yet he didn't. He didn't speak. Not one word at any point. Jesus could have stopped it all, but he didn't. He allowed the events to transpire as they did, because his mission was coming to die. We see the story of Jesus going to the cross. We hear it every single year, and I just want you to reflect a little bit different this year, because it seems to come hand in hand with these characters that come up, the thief and Pilate, but Barabbas is who at least I am, and maybe you identify with him. We don't know much about him. He's a murderer. He's a leader of an insurrection. He's a rebel. That's why he's mentioned. That's it. Sometimes that's all you really get. And I'm not really sure anything else. This is all about Jesus going to the cross. But in many ways, it's a love story to you and I. It's a love story to you and I. In this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hands. I know the Jews have a tradition on the holy day. I'll release one of the prisoners from death row. Everything will be good. He stands on this audacious stage that now presents Jesus, the Son of God, versus Barabbas, this thug and rebel. And he says, all right, what do you want to do? And they pick the wrong dude. And I'm sure Pilate's like, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? I'm sure he kept a stone, you know, he kept a good face. But inside, he's like, are we serious? But that's me. Every time I think about it, I realize that's me. The one who stands before the Father condemned because of his sin. The one that knows he does not deserve anything that he's being given. The one that knows that when the chains are coming, when the executioner is coming, that I deserve what's coming next. Yet they come to take my chains off, not to take me to be executed because somebody died in my place. That is what's so good about Friday. You see, that's the beauty of the gospel. So many of us find ourselves in this time with some type of sin, some type of thing that's holding us down or holding us back, that's controlling us, that's pulling us back from where we're supposed to be. And I hear from people all the time, they go, well, I'll just shake it free myself. I'll fight it off. I'll do the thing, you know, the pull yourself up by the bootstraps, the way we Americans like to do, right? But here's the reality. We won't. We can't. For the powers of hell and the urges of your sin, you will not overcome it. You won't overcome it. You'll just be another statistic very soon. Unless you submit it to Christ. That's what today's about. Because there is no answer within you. There's no answer within me. There's no answer at all. The answer is found in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and I. The one who went in our place, the one who was innocent, the lamb that said nothing. The real answer in that question, when I'm dealing with my sin, when I'm struggling, when I'm hurting, is no, I deserve this. I deserve all that is coming for me. Yet God takes it all away. That's the beauty of the cross. There's many times you'll find yourself going, God, I'm so ashamed. And God says, give me your shame. God, what if I do it again? He says, I'll still be here. Well, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. And he says, everything will be all right. Just give me your sins. Give me your pain. Give me your hurt. Give it to me. It's on us. And I pray Barabbas did this, to look at him with our arms wide open and say, this is all I have. This is all I have. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God and God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline or your focus, but God and God alone. Your greatest challenge is believing and living the gospel out in your life. He comes to you today and says, let me have your sin, my child. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty place of forgiveness. And let's be honest, Christians, it's a weird place. I don't really know what to do anymore with it when I give it to him, because I've held on to it for so long. But here's what he does, is he puts it on his back and he walks up a hill named Golgotha, and he's whipped and he's chained and he has nails driven through his hands and his feet. And I stand free as a child at attention at the one who took all of that. And he looks at me and says, go, my child, live your life. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. And you watch him go up the hill as he's placed on the cross and placed in the ground, and he's sitting there and he says, go, my child, you're free. The message of the cross on this Good Friday is very simple for you and I. Jesus is enough. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how hard it is, Jesus is enough. Yes, we are Barabbas. Yes, you deserve all that you should get. But yes, Jesus is willing to take it from you, let you go free and say, go, my child. If we are true Christians, we have to lean our souls daily in the comforting thought that Christ has already been your substitute, and that today is just a reflection of that. He did it for you 2,000 years ago, that he was punished in your place. You have to cling firmly to the glorious truth that a sinless Savior suffered in your place, in my place. And believing in him, I, as a guilty man, may go free. I am Barabbas. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you would take me, a guilty man, and set me free. That you would take somebody that doesn't deserve it in any way, shape, or form and tell me to live my life for you. Father, I thank you so much because I know my guilt. I know my shame. I know what I deserve, and I thank you for taking it. Let us reflect on that and remember you. In your precious name we pray, and all God's saints would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.